Well, it is amazing how fast the Feast of Tabernacles seems to go by. I think I was commenting to someone yesterday about it. It's like almost like riding a roller coaster. It's slow. You get it, but you get up to that midway point, and then it just seems like it takes off, and it's over with before you really know it. Well, my first Feast of Tabernacle for me and my family was 36 years ago. That was in 1984. We had just started attending services the previous December, there in December of 83. And as we began to learn more and more about living according to God's way of life, we realized that we should be saving a tithe for use for observing God's feast. Well, this was well into the springtime. I guess we were focused on the spring holy days, and then I was baptized just before the spring holy days, and realized that, hey, I need to be saving a tithe here. So we started saving that tithe. Well, just shortly after the spring holy days, Claudia, my wife, and I had our fifth child. So we had a large family. Our budget was stretched to the max, but we did begin to save that tithe. But as you can imagine, you know, if you start saving the tithe at the spring holy days, you're kind of short when it comes to the fall holy days. So, but you know, we did learn of this responsibility and started saving the tithe. So we had a limited amount of money for that first feast. But fortunately, the church had a feast site close to us in Big Sandy, Texas. So when we learned about that, we thought, well, you know, even though we don't have as much money as we should have, we could go to Big Sandy. Well, they had a big campground there behind the campus. When I go over there occasionally now, I almost want to drive through the campus and drive up and down all those roads. I think it was 36 or 38 roads that they had back through there. So it was a huge campground. And then they had bathhouses, you know, along the road there. So it wasn't roughing it as much as you think it would be. But we thought, okay, even though we've got limited resources, we can do this. So we went shopping with the limited funds that we had. We bought a tent. We bought camping gear. Of course, we bought, you know, new dresses and clothes for the kids. And we went to Big Sandy. We borrowed some camping gear, some from friends as well. So feast was about to begin. We load up, and we go to Big Sandy to observe the feast. Let's turn to Leviticus. We've looked at this verse before, but this feast, but let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll read verses 34 through 36. Mr. Kubik said we could repeat verses, right? I heard him say that. Verse 34, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. So the Hebrew word that's translated into tabernacles here indicates a temporary dwelling, like a booth or a tent. So, hey, we were on good ground there, right? We had our tent. We were going to the feast. We were going to observe the Feast of Tabernacles in our temporary dwelling. Well, you know, we didn't know when we set that tent up how temporary it could be. The first holy day was wonderful, had wonderful weather. We observed the holy day. We came back and went to bed that night. You know, Texas thunderstorm shows up in the middle of the night. Before we knew it, it was a raging thunderstorm. It wasn't like the light rain we had out here today. It was a downpour. And by the morning, everything that we had was pretty much soaked. That year, I think the first holy day was on a Thursday, so we woke up that Friday morning, everything wet, went to services. So we had just a little bit of time before the Sabbath started. So several of the men in our local congregation came to me and, oh, we can help you fix this. You know, They were experienced campers. They'd been at Big Sandy for years and years. So I spent the day with them trying to fortify our campsite. Well, Claudia spent the day at the laundromat, not washing clothes, just drying clothes. Somebody's done this before. Well, she thought she would never get through that. And she told me multiple times years later that, you know, the Sabbath was coming. She had 5 children in a laundromat trying to dry and fold all these clothes. And she just thought there was no hope left. And then all of a sudden, I think half the ladies from the Monroe, Louisiana congregation walked in and, you know, they whipped everything, folded everything, and they were gone before she knew what was going on. So our first couple of days at the Feast of Tabernacles, we learned some really powerful lessons. The main lesson that we learned was that nothing's as sturdy as you think it is. Everything in this world is temporary. But we also learned that message of hope that we've heard about, you know. Claudia thought everything was lost, you know. I mean, she's, you know, just new in the church. She's frustrated trying to get things done before the Sabbath. And then God's family comes in, you know, and everything's better. You know, so that's some of the lessons that we learned from our first feast. Well, you know, Jesus Christ was God, but he gave up all that he had to become a human being. And when he did this, he knew that his stay on the earth would be temporary. John points this out in 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John 1, 1. I mean, I'm sorry, John 1, 1. Pardon me. John 1, 1. See, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was God, and he, you know, he was the creator. You know, God the Father did, and he did the whole creation. Let's skip down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word that John used here that was translated in English as dwelt means to fix one's tabernacle, to abide, to dwell, to live in a tabernacle or a tent. So Jesus Christ, the creator of everything, came down for his first coming, as we heard in the Bible study the other night. He came down and to dwell in that temporary dwelling. Of course, we know he did this for a lot of different purposes, but the main purpose was he would give his life so that we and all of mankind would have an opportunity to become part of God's family. Now, I think he knew that ultimately he would have to do this, and he was very conscious of that the whole time, that he was living as a, you know, in a temporary dwelling. His body was a temporary dwelling. And this consciousness of our nature also should be an important thing for us to understand. And we need to focus on that as we go about doing the things that we need to do so that we can have eternal life. Let's look at the Apostle Peter also commented about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Peter wrote here, said, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle. Very similar word, not the same exact word, but it's same thing, a temporary dwelling. He has to put off this temporary dwelling, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I would endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So he's thinking about his temporary dwelling, and it's about to end. But he has certain things that he wants them to remember. And, you know, since his words are written down for us to remember also. Let's skip back up to verse 4. verse 4. This is what he was wanting us to remember. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that's what he wants, that's what he was focused on as he was about to leave life, and that's what he wanted us to focus on. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. So these are the things that Peter was focused on, and he wants us to focus on those things also as we think about our temporary existence. You know, Peter shows here that the starting point of all of this, of growing in grace and knowledge, is faith. Let's turn over to back to Hebrews 11. You know, the first article of faith is that we must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So everything begins with faith. But then, as Peter said, we have to add all these things on as we grow. You know, in Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had that faith, and that's why they lived in tents in the land of promise. Let's begin reading in verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, you know, those temporary dwellings again, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So they dwelt in those temporary dwellings, but they had their mind somewhere else, just like Peter was saying. You know, we're in a temporary dwelling, but we need to be focusing on something different. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So God had promised this, and she knew that he would be faithful. Let's skip down to verse 13. Now these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So that should be our mindset too, that we are temporary. We're strangers. This isn't isn't our permanent home. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to return. But they didn't return. Verse 16. But now they desired a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So we have to have this same mindset that Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob had, and all of these people that are listed here in Hebrews 11. You know, we must think of our existence on the earth as a temporary situation. We have to think of our bodies as a temporary dwelling place, a tabernacle or a tent. And that's one of the lessons that we learn when we observe the Feast of Tabernacles each year. But there's another mindset that we have to have also, and that's what we just read here. We need to be looking forward to the time when that city that God is going to build, or is building, the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven. It'll come to a new earth. And we need to focus on that promise just like these people did. We need to know that we're temporary, but we have hope for the future. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 21. This is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, but I'm probably going to dip my toe in tomorrow a little bit here. Revelation chapter 21, I'll read verses 1 through 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them." John uses the same word here that he used in John 1. He will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. So God will dwell with men. He used that same word, but Jesus' first coming was a temporary dwelling. Jesus' second coming and the coming of the new Jerusalem, God dwelling with us, will not be temporary. It'll be a permanent situation. God the Father and Jesus Christ will dwell with us forever. So it won't be like that tent in Big Sandy, Texas. That's going, you know, that is not going to last for very long. This will be the real thing. This will be the real dwelling, God the Father and Jesus Christ with us. So as we observe the Feast of Tabernacles, let us meditate on our existence, our temporary existence as human beings. But more importantly, let's meditate on the hope that God has given us to be part of his family in the kingdom of God.